we've been spending the last couple of weeks talking about definitions of Sfira as they relate primarily to Sfiras Omer, Sfiras Shemunikim. We spoke a little bit about Sfiras Yovel as well. There's one last point that comes up. We are actually Sfiras Shemunikim and Sfiras Omer part ways, and they part ways almost in literally diametrically opposed positions. So the sugya really begins for us and towards the end of the Maamar Kamos, Maamar Kamos number 13, where the Gemara tells us in Masechas Menachas Amar Vav Amalaf. Those were in my shiur last night. We quoted the same Gemara a little bit of a different context. The Gemara tells us, "Emetai Tamaytze Sheva Shabbosos Tamimos." How do you accomplish that your days of Sfiras Omer are Tamimos, that they're complete? As much as the Maskli Manos Mi Be'erev, as long as you count Be'erev, as long as you count at night, then the entire day is a Yom Tamim. If you're going to wait until the morning to count Sfiras Omer, so then you lost the entire first chunk of the day of the halachic day, since the halachic day begins at night. So therefore, it's not considered to be a kiyum of tamimos unless you count in the evening. Of course, that's the din that a person clearly has to count at night. There is a machlekes in Rishonim, but this is only l'chadchilo, even with the evet. But definitely l'chadchilo, no question, in the Torah, you're supposed to count balayla. This is in direct contrast to the dinim of Svira for Shiva Nikiyim, for Zava. That's based on the 14th of the Maamar Kamos. It's a very complex mission at the end of Maseches Nida. We're going to really just extract the part of it that we need for our purposes. The mission is talking about Vishavim B'Tavelis Laila L'Zava She'ena Tfila Vishavim B'Ro B'Soch Yud Aleph Yom B'Tavel Erev V'Shimshim V'Shim Tamish K'V'Moshe V'Chayom B'Korban. The Mishnah is alluding to two different scenarios, two different potential applications of a woman who is Asura, she is Temeya, in the parish of Zava, and she's trying to get out of that status of Zivus. Now, we've been using the term Zava to describe someone who has to count Shiva Nikiyim, and that's technically what's called the Halacha Zava Gedola. In order for a woman to become a full-fledged Zava, what we call a Zava Gedola, she has to have three Re'iyos Tam on three consecutive days during that period of 11 days between her periods, Ben Nida L'Nida. So it's a very, very unique type of a presentation of Dam. It has to be a very, very specific time during her cycle. It has to be for X amount of days and it has to be consecutive days. Then and only then does she take on the full-fledged term of Zava Gedola. We don't get so into the details of Zava Gedola, Zava Ketana. It doesn't interest us much, l'halacha, because everybody's treated like a Zava Gedola b'zman hazeh. But technically, in the Torah, there are actually three different ways that a woman can become Temeh or Asura. One is through Zava Gedola. One is through Nida, which is a whole different parsha. Nida is what she gets in her regular cycle. And then you have what's called the Zava Ketana. Zava Ketana is synonymous with another phrase called Shomeres Yom Kineged Yom. What that means is, it's during those 11 days, that halacha moshe seen of 11 days after the first seven of her cycle. So she's in that window of 11 days when she could potentially become a Zava Gedola, but she didn't see for 3 days. She only saw for 1 day, or she only saw for 2 days. So if that's the case, she is Asura, she is Temeya, as an Issachares in her, she's considered to be Asura Midaraisa. But the process of Tahara is significantly less than the process for Zava Gedola. Zava Gedola requires Shiva Nikiyim. Zava Ketana only requires 1 day. She wears Yom Kineged Yom. Even if she saw 2 days, she only has to wait 1 day. So she saw, let's say, Sunday and Monday, so she has to wait Tuesday. If Tuesday is clean, she does a Sfiras Yom Echad, and then she goes to the mikvah afterwards. That's called a Zava Ketana. Now again, for us, it doesn't matter, because we have a Chumrah with the Rabbanan that once a woman sees even the smallest amount, she becomes the worst case scenario. She's a Zava Gedola requiring Shiva Nikiyim. But in the Torah, there's a very, very real difference between a Nida who doesn't need any Shiva Nikiyim and a Zava Gedola requires Shiva Nikiyim, and a Zava Ketana only requires a Shomer Siyam Kineged Yom. These two halachas of Zava Gedola and Zava Ketana, and love of their Isa, require in a certain sense a Sfira. One case she has to count 7 days, one time she has to count only 1 day, but they require some kind of a Sfira. And we technically say on these notions of Sfira, we apply the principle of Mikta Sayom Kakula, that a woman need not do an entire Sfira on the last day of a Sfira. Even a shortened version, even a mitzvah version, even a mini version of counting counts as well. Now, whether this is exactly the same halacha as mitzvah kikulo in other areas of halacha is a big machlekes rishonim. We're not going to get into that right now. But The Gemara says explicitly at the end of Masechas Nida, when a woman is counting Shivinikiyim, she need not wait the seventh day to be a full Yom Naki. She, as long as she does a Sfira on the beginning of the seventh day, that's good enough. Or even for the Shemes Yom Kinega Yom, she doesn't have to do a Sfira of Yom Echad the entire day. As long as she does a Sfira of the Mikzas Yom, it's also okay. What would that mean practically? That means Min HaTorah, a woman can go to the mikvah on the seventh day, be Be'od Yom, of Shivanikiyim, because of Mikzas Yom Kekula, or some version of Mikzas Yom Kekula. Similarly, Min HaTorah, if a woman saw blood, let's say on Sunday, and on Monday she's clean, so she doesn't have to wait Min HaTorah till the night. She can go to the mikvah even during the day and hide behind Mikzas Yom Kekula. The Gemara says that it's not a very good idea to do that, and it's actually a problem with the Rabbanim to do that, because even though, technically speaking, Mikzas Yom Kekula is kicked in, and she's can go to the mikvah, but she's still on hold. She's still, in a sense, on probation. That if she sees Dam during the course of that day, it will retroactively disqualify the sphere and retroactively disqualify the entire tevila. So proceed with caution, the Gemara says, and therefore the Chazal said don't proceed altogether. It means that we're going to let the couple, you know, be together on the afternoon of the seventh day, after she went to the mikvah earlier in the morning, so they're risking a potential sakaris, because it turns out that later in the afternoon she sees dam, she is not tamei mikal lahava, but rather she is tamei levafreya, and it turns out they were mamish boil, they did a beilas iser in the sakaris of a balas of a ketana, a balas of a gedola. So the bottom line is that in the world in the Torah, there is such a notion of going to the mikvah early. In the world of the Rabbanan, it almost doesn't exist. I say almost because there may be certain very, very limited circumstances where the sister Rabbanan was lifted, but again, there's not a chosnin to share it now, so we'll leave that for now. But the bottom line is that the woman can do the procedure of tevila before the full halachic day is over, in a sense, hani ma and miktas yom kekula. It's to that the Mishnah says, one thing you cannot do is, you can't do that at night. If a Zava goes to the mikvah on the night of the seventh, I don't mean Mitzvah the seventh, I mean that's what we do, in the night of the seventh, so that's absolutely not acceptable. That's an Issacharis, that's an Issacharis. It's the Tefillah's Baklam of Utum in HaTorah. Well, let's say, the woman who is a Shemer Shem Kineged Yom, if she doesn't wait fully into the daytime, doesn't have to wait the entire day, but she has to wait into the daylight hours. So she is a Zavaktana, which is tantamount to being an Issacharis. So even though we're very, very makel, the Torah gives us this kula, Mixim Kakulo. Mixim Kula only begins in the daylight, doesn't begin at night. That's what the Fair Shemishah, the Mishnah says in two different places, two different times, on the 14th of the Ma'amar Kamas. So there, truth to be told, there is one opinion in Rishonim who claims startling that maybe we don't postulate this Mishnah. That there is a sugya in Maseches Pesachim, other places, which may throw into question that other Tanoim may disagree with this Mishnah and may apply Mikzim Kekul even at night. That is not accepted la'alacha. And Shulchan Aruch, that view is not quoted. And therefore, we assume it's a Dabba Pashat, that for the purposes of Tevila, even on the level of Deraisa, Mikzim Kekul, yes, but the Svira has to be Dafka Bayom, not the night before. Now the question is, what exactly does that mean? That notion that the Sfiras Ayom cannot take place at night. What are the ramifications of that? Besides the din that appears in the Mishnah explicitly, you can't go to the mikvah the night before. So it tells us in the 15th of the Ma'amar Kamos, and again, we're going to leave out some of the background where Tosfos is coming from. Tosfos has a line. Tosfos is discussing when is the proper time to do bedikos for Shivanikiyim. So we already spoke about this earlier in the series of Shirim, that Chazal tell us that women has the bedikas, multiple bedikas throughout the week, and we couldn't quite pin down what the purpose of bedikas are. We weren't quite sure whether they're deraisa or derabanan, but they definitely exist. And it's in that context that Tosfos writes that just as Svira doesn't count at night, so Tosfos says at the end of the first line, the fifth line goes, Elim gen yivtukubalis belias l'mashacha, the Svira's lively in a Svira. Tosfos says just as you can't go to the mikvah the night before, you can't do whatever required bedikas are the night before as well. That bedikas are a function of sphira, and whatever limitations there are on sphira, they exist on bedikas as well. So in passing, Tosfos just made a huge, huge statement, a big, big jump for the Gemara. The Mishnah, in the end of Nida, that is teaching us this halacha, that Laila doesn't count, The Mishnah is not talking about bedigas. The Mishnah is not even addressing bedigas. The Mishnah is talking about tevila b'mikvah. Tosfos took it one step further and said, just as tevila b'layla is no good, so too bedigas is no good. And that would have an application for us for the whole week of Shivat Nikim. So we know the Mishnah tells us it's both of the bedikas every day of Shivat Nikim. And if you miss the bedikas, depending on how many you missed, you may not even be good b'diavad. We try to be machmir in Shulchan Aruch that if a person didn't do at least 1 in 7, that's going to be a huge problem. So if that's the case, what would we say about the following shaila? A woman does a bedika on the halachic first day or on the halachic seventh day, but she did it at night. She did have sitara, let's say Sunday afternoon. And then an hour later, she does a bedika for some reason and never got around to doing bedikas during the daytime. Now, normally we would never tell her to do bedikas at night. What are you doing bedikas at night for? So she says, well, why not? Why can't this be the first bedikas of Shivat Nikim? I'm afraid I'm going to work early tomorrow morning. I'm going to forget to do bedikas tomorrow. Let me hop around the bedikas at night. So Taisa says it's no good. Taisa said that just as Svira Balayla is no good, i.e. you can't go to the mikvah on the seventh night because Mizim Kulu doesn't kick in because Svira isn't chal until the daytime. Huadinami says Taisa that bedikas are not chal in the nighttime as well for the exact same reason. So the question is that Mukhach? Is what Taisa says 100% agreed upon or not? So Lechora, one could question this was based on what we spoke about earlier, several weeks ago. What is the role of bedikas? What are you trying to accomplish? What is the agenda with bedikas? The Mishnah speaks about them. We thought they're probably deraisa, but we're not quite sure what they're trying to accomplish. So we have two radically different approaches in the poskim, what the goal of bedikas are. According to the Chafetz Das and the Tara back from week one, so we said the goal of bedikas are to ensure that there's no blood. That's it. It is just a simple way of being mevarer that there's no bleeding, because if there's bleeding, that messes up the count. It's just a way of being mevarer, there's no bleeding. And then we had another approach. Maybe that's not the goal of bedikas. Maybe the goal of bedikas is the formal mitzvah of v'safrala. We could never quite pin down what v'safrala means. Does v'safrala refer to being sofer b'peh? Does v'safrala refer to being sofer b'machshava? Does v'safrala refer to a maisa? If it's a ma'isa, what ma'isa is it? So the answer is the only ma'isa we can actually pin it on is the ma'isa bedika. So we had this theory a couple of weeks ago that the role of bedikas is really a kiyum of the parasha of the pasuk of a sofralah. So that seems to be what Tosfos is saying, because Tosfos is borrowing the idea that just as sviras laila is no good to invoke mikta ziyam kakulo, and therefore the woman cannot go to the mikvah, mi be'od laila, you have to wait till birajon. Huadinami bedikos, which are also part of the parasha of Sfira, cannot be performed at night as well. That's Tosfos' job. If one argues with Tosfos' basic premise and assumes that the goal of bedikos has nothing to do with Sfira, the goal of bedikos is just simply a way to be machzik that there's no blood, and clearly you don't have to be machzik the entire 24 hours. Nobody would require that the woman has to do bedikos for every second for 24/7. So clearly, achzakas Bilti Riyaz Dam for one moment counts for the entire day. So why should we insist that Hachzokas Bilti Riyaz Dam, I just made up that term. Why should we assume that Hachzokas Bilti Riyaz Dam has to be done in the daylight hours? Why can't it be done at nighttime? What's the difference? So who is the Bar Plukta of this Taisus? Who questions this Taisus? We're questioning this. Who are we? So we are following in the footsteps of the Chazon Ish. Raises this question for Taisus. Chazanish didn't come to posket against Taisus. Chazanish says that he finds that Taisus very difficult. Why? Because Chazanish writes, L'chora, the goal of bedikas is to be machzik that there's no blood. So L'chora, what that should translate to mean is, any time that seeing blood would pose a problem, the proof that there's no blood should be the solution. So at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, bleeding would destroy the Shivat Nikim. So therefore, if you can prove for that split second that you're not bleeding, that's a chazaka that you're not bleeding, and that creates the requirement, that fulfills the requirement of bedikas. Says the Chazon Ish, what's the difference between creating that chazaka at 3 o'clock in the afternoon or 3 o'clock in the morning? If you would bleed at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, it would be sais to Shivat Nikim. If you bleed 3 o'clock in the morning, it would also be sais to Shivat Nikim. So just as a re'iyas dam at 3 o'clock in the morning, in the middle of the night, is a saiser, a bedika, which is the remedy to rectify the potential concern of Ria, what is wrong with performing that bedika in the middle of the night? Why do you have to wait until the daytime? So Bishlam, if you hold that this is based on Sfira, then I understand Taisa. The Chadish says, doesn't know where Taisa got that from. He's not sure whether that's correct or not. So again, we spoke about this in the past. We thought it was Machlekes Rashi, but there are Machlekes Acharonim. We weren't sure. But this Nakuda that Taisa just raised is a critical one, because Taisa makes the jump between Sfira to the bridges the gap to Bedikas, and therefore puts the brakes. The breaks being that bedikas have to be limited dafka to the daytime and that cannot be performed at night. This has some very, very real nafkaminas ladina for us in some very, very real cases. A very, very common scenario. Not as common this time of the year, it's very common in the wintertime. A woman wakes up, she's in the middle of Shemini Kiyum, she's off to work. So she gets dressed and she gets into a car at the 7 o'clock in the morning, off to work, not to return until 6 o'clock at night. When is she going to do a bedikas for Shiva Nikim? So nobody wants to be bothered in the middle of the office to go do bedikas. So she does a bedikah before she gets dressed in the morning. 7 o'clock in the morning, for our Sikkim men are well aware of the fact that's before Netzachama. Is that okay? Is that called a bedikah by Yom? Is that called a bedikah by Laila? So even though Taisha Stachel uses the phrase, I'm on a shachar, the Mishnah says in Maseches Megillah that all mitzvahs that are supposed to be done by day are really supposed to be waited until Netzachama. Although in a Torah, dawn is the beginning of the halachic day. With the Rabbanan, you're not supposed to do that. At least the Chachil, you're not supposed to rely on that. You're not supposed to read the Megillah. You're not supposed to say hal. You're not supposed to shake a lulav or blow shofar until after Netzachama, because we're afraid it's not so easy to tell whether the morning has actually arrived. So therefore, with the Rabbanan, they made a takana. You have to wait until the sun's mama shining, until the sun can be seen over the horizon before doing the mitzvah sayyim. So that's what the place can point out. The Nuchas Nida, that the correct practice for a woman is that she should often not do the bedikas before nates. It's not right for a woman to do a bedikas before nates. But the Eved, they're probably okay. But we would not recommend to do bedikas before nates because of this taisus. Again, if you argue with taisus, like the Chazanish is ha'ara against taisus, then you're not bothered with this altogether. But again, the Chazanish didn't disagree la'alacha. He was just questioning whether the taisus was really in sync with that theory of what bedikas are or not about. You have another potential application of the shaila as follows. It's also a somewhat common shaila. We spoke earlier about how bedikas and their 1 and 7 are very, very important. If you forgot their 1 and their 7, we have very, very serious reservations. So what do you think about the following? A woman does have siktara at, let's say, 6 o'clock in the evening, right before shkia. And the next morning, she's supposed to do a bedikas. She forgot. She didn't do a bedikas. She missed the entire day, missed the bedikas. And then she remembers, and then day 6, she never did a bedikas. So can she salvage day 1 or not? Can we still call day 1 a Yom Baduk without a Bedikah? So the answer is, it's 2 days of Shulchan Aruch and the Chachila. We would really, really not want to do that. But maybe one could argue, what do you mean? She did a Bedikah. She just told her she didn't do a Bedikah. No, she did a Bedikah. When did she do a Bedikah? She did a Bedikah the night before. Who did a Bedikah the night before? What Meshuggah does Bedikah in the middle of the night? So the answer is, well, it's quite like, very possible that she did a Moch. We're not getting into the intricacies of Chaznida. So there is a practice that the Rishonim quote based on a sugya of the Yadamasech Chaznida, that although Me'ikar Adin, when a woman is getting ready to begin Shemini Kiyum, all she has to do is insert a bedikah cloth into that area right before Shkia, move it around a little bit, take it out and make sure it's clean, and that's Afsik Ta'ara. There is a Chumrah, a Minhag based on different anyone who's Brewerfield hears that noise? I'm assuming it's just firecrackers. Am I correct? Fireworks?
Yeah.
Fireworks. Okay, that's my suspect. Okay. We have to compete now with Kalas of Brockham. Okay. I guess that's the official inauguration of Memorial Day weekend. Is that the shot?
There's fireworks.
There's fireworks.
Fireworks. Okay, great. Okay, good. They must have really liked this far that I said in this year. Okay. So back to that story. Under normal circumstances, a woman, after she finishes Efsik Tahara, she is supposed to, right before Shkia, take another bedikah cloth, insert into that area, and leave it there till Tzeis Kechavim. That's what's called the moch. Again, the source for moch is the whole basis of the end of Maseches Nida. It's all a complicated story. So it's supposed to really be done. Sometimes it's not necessary to be done. Many women have difficulty doing it. Again, it's another story, not for now. But let's say, Liatsu, that the woman did do this moch. So if she did the moch, then it turns out that she, in a sense, had a bedikas laila, because she sticks the moch in before she takes it out of the tzeis. So by definition, she had a bedikas cloth in that area, in a sense, during the nighttime hours of the first day. Now, are we comfortable with that? are we okay to say, well, since the bedikah was in the cloth, was in there for the hours, in a sense, of the first night, so maybe that can count as a bedikah of Yom Echad, to be the Yevad, let it go to the mikvah based on that bedikah. So it's a very loaded question based on other factors. It's just merely having a bedikah cloth, but also not even called the bedikah altogether. Maybe a bedikah requires moving it around and rotating it, and bedikah is kind of stuck. There's a lot of technical details that are needed that are involved in the shayla, but one of the tzadim that is discussed is this very shayla, namely, can we rely on the fact that maybe bedikah's laila is good? So according to Tosfos, the answer is no. You can't rely on bedikah's laila because bedikah's laila is like Tzvira's laila, and Tzvira's laila is no good, bedikah's laila is no good. But according to Chaznish Zahara, maybe bedikah's laila parts ways from Tzvira's laila because bedikah is not really a din of Tzvira. But upon Menahem Slice said, it comes out that whatever Tzvira is required for Shimon Kiyum, or whatever Tzvira is required for Tzvira's Yom Echad, for Zav Ketana, that Tzvira requires dafka daylight hours and not the nighttime. So I just thought it's a little bit strange. It's almost like Mamish Benafichu. When it comes to Tzvira's Omer, so Tzvira's Omer is the exact opposite. Tzvira's Omer, you dafka have to count by night, because if you count by day, then you're losing Tzmimus. Because by Tzvira, Shivinikiyim, so the Torah goes out of its way the other way, that it's not enough to count at night, you have to count dafka b'yom in order to count as a sphira. So again, this is not a kasha. It's not a stira between the two halachas. It's just an observation that's a little bit of a strange thing that we have these two areas of halacha of sphira. And again, for the last 5 weeks, we've been trying to highlight some of the similarities and differences. So I think this is an important difference to note, that when it comes to the timing of the halachic halos of sphira, so by sphira's omer, it's dafka at night, in contrast to the day, according to many, with the event. And by Sefira Shimon Kiyum, maybe Mamash the exact opposite. But the Sefira, whatever that means, but the Sefira means the Tevilah, the Sefira means the Bedikah, whatever you think Sefira means, it's much more in sync with the daylight hours rather than with the nighttime hours. Again, just an interesting discrepancy, so to speak, not a kasha, just a distinction between these two areas of halacha. There is a further question. Within this detail of Hilchas Sefira v'Shivin Kiyum, whatever it means, what the Taisis, do accept it, don't accept it, but everyone agrees to a certain extent, Sefira's Lail is not really a Sefira, at least for the purposes of the Tefillah, for the Iker count of Sefira Shivin Kiyum of Yom Echad, Sefira's Lail is no good. So what does that mean exactly? Why is that so? So one could understand that in one of two ways. Either one could understand that this is a detail in Miktas Yom Kekulam. I mean, Mitzvah Yom Kippur is really a tremendous chesh. In a million years, I never would have said it. The starting point in Allah is, if you have to do something for a full amount of days, so you better do it for a full amount of days. Tell me a story, I'm only doing half a job. If you have to wait X amount of time, you have to wait X amount of time, finish. It's not a game. You don't shave away and say, well, I did part of the day, it's good. That's why the post team will try to figure out when we do and when we don't say this klal. Nobody says Mitzvah Yom Kippur on Shabbos. It's a Kabbalah Kekula. You don't really have to keep the whole day Shabbos. I just keep, I wake up in the morning, Shabbos morning, and happen quickly, I'm done, and then I'm good to go for the rest of the day. I can do malach the rest of the day, and get out of my Shabbos clothes the rest of the day. No, you don't say this. Don't mix them cool on the bits of Shabbos, both in the essays and the loss essays. So you have to observe Shabbos till not to the bitter end, to the sweet end. Fine. So, but in certain areas of Allah, Mitzvah Kulu applies. It applies in Uchaz Naziris, it applies in Uchaz Avelis, it applies in Uchaz Shri Nikim. So we find, again, you have to iron out the details, how the Chazal figure out when you do and you don't. So that's really an old question that has multiple answers to it. But the mice of the facts are on the ground that Mitzvah Kulu does kick in sometimes. So is this din that Laila doesn't count, is this a detail in Uchaz Mitzvah Kulu? That means Mitzvah Kulu is such a Kabbalah Gichirish. In a billion years, I wouldn't have said it on my own. The Torah said it, okay. Torah said only in the Chabal Chedusha. The Torah only said it within a certain surah and only daylight hours and not the night times. Is that the pshat? That this is a, tonight this is a prat in Hilchos Mitzvah Yom Kippur? Well, maybe that's not the pshat. Maybe, you know, the pshat is that Mitzvah Yom Kippur really fundamentally could be fulfilled tonight also. Because at the end of the day, everybody Yom Echad means that the day begins tonight. It's no less Shabbos at night than it is during the day. It's no less Yom Kippur at night than it is during the day. So in terms of Kiddush Sayyim, in terms of other halachas that govern the day, the halachic day begins at night. That's Chachanim Salamei Shavenu. So that's the case. So Tacha, why is it that the woman can't go to the mikveh at night, the night of the seventh? Why not? Why does she have to wait till the morning of the seventh minute? What's wrong with the night? The answer is it's not a chisar in Mitzvah Yom Kippur. It's a chisar in Svira. Because in order for a woman to go to the mikvah, it's not enough that she has reached the seventh day. She has to be sofer shivas yamim. For sofer lo shivas yamim. Now again, we're not quite sure what that means. We don't know, does that mean to think, to speak, to act, to do bidikas? We can't even pinpoint what she's supposed to be doing. But whatever she's supposed to be doing, maybe all the above, or one of the above, whatever it is. So the din of sfira requires yamim, except for sfira yamim. Sfira requires yamim. Sfira, the requirement of yom is not, it's not a din in the mixim kakul shabbat. It's not a chesed in the mixim kakul shabbat. It's a chesed in the sfira shabbat. Rabbi, at the end of the day, I can't go to mikvah at night. At the end of the day, I got to wait till the next morning. So what do you know? At the end of the day, well, nice, you have to wait till the daytime. Who cares whether it's a chesed in one area or not? So the chora, we can throw out a test case. What if there are other areas of halacha that are always also revolving around mixim kakulo? But they may not have a din of sphere to them. So what other cases could that possibly be? So one possible case would be Chuzavelus. Chuzavelus comes the seventh day, or comes the 30th day. You say Mixiyam Kekulo, we know that. That's for sure, that's the din, Mixiyam Kekulo. Would you say Mixiyam Kekulo on the night of, on the night before? Could you say Mixiyam Kekulo or not? So the answer is, according to most Rishon, the answer is no, you probably can't. For either way you slice the chisaron of Laila. If you hold that the chisaron of Laila is the chisaron of Mixiyam Kekulo, so then you're not entitled to that principle of Mixiyam Kekulo until the daytime. Neither of you want to argue that the chisaron of Laila is the chisaron of the sfira. Well, guess what? Shivas Yimei Avelus also requires a sfira. Shlosh Yimei Avelus is also a din of a sfira. The Yimei Sfira, the days of counting. And again, it doesn't mean that the Avel has to sit around and say, today's the third day of Shiva, today's the 16th day of Shloshim. You don't have to make a formal count, you don't have to be cognizant of the count, but it is a din of Sfiris Yom, it is a din of Minyan, it is a din of numbers. And therefore, whatever din limits Laila vis-a-vis Hilchas Zava, most probably limits Laila vis-a-vis Hilchas Avelus as well. That's why most of the Rishon, we pass in Shulchan Aruch say, that the bottom line is that an Ovel does not get up on the night of the seventh. An Ovel does not end the Shloshim on the night of the Shloshim. He has to wait into the day of the Shiva. He has to wait into the day of the Shloshim. Why do you have to wait that extra time? Well, the same as the woman can't go to the mikvah. Unless one thinks that the woman can't go to the mikvah. And we mentioned that there are some Rishonim who may say we don't pass this Mishnah. But again, we don't generally hold that way. We generally assume that we do accept this Mishnah. So if that's the case, the Chor of the Halacha is pretty clear that in Uchaz Avelus, this limitation is going to carry over because Uchaz Avelus has a din of Mixiyam Kekulo tacked onto it, and it also has a din of Sfira tacked onto it. And either one of those halachas is going to reject the possibility of night being sufficient. But maybe I can find the following nafkamina. I'm not going to give up yet on the Shaila. I can still find a nafkamina. That's as follows. There is a din tucked away in the end of Maseches Ma'akot. A lot of people know this din from Tishba. It's one of those sugis in the third pech of Ma'akot. A lot of people learn. There's a din of what's called the Shmuk, Raven Shmur Rechaika. Shmur Krova means normally the engine that drives the Chiyav of Shiva, the Chiyav of Shloshim, the entire count, the entire Nihugim of Avelos, is the Kfuru, the Gemara called Stimus Agoilu. Whenever the Kfuru is open, there's a technical machlekes mishnah on what exactly that phrase means, Stimus Agoilu, but Lamaise basically translates the Kfuru. Our purpose is to basically translate the Kfuru. So Kfur is when everything begins. That's when the Kamal Shiva begins. That's when the Kamal Shlosh begins. With the one quirk of an exception, the person who's Kaiva Mesa Beregula, the person buries his Mesa on Yom Tov Chalamoyed. So then the Kamal Shlosh begins from Kfur, and the Kamal Shiva is put on the left Yom. That's a quirk. That's the Yom Tov. But basically, Kfur comes, and the Kfur starts the count, starts the ball rolling. The ball can be rolling for something else as well. What if a person wasn't at the Kvura? What if a person didn't even know about the Kvura? A person gets a message a week later that his relative died. So what starts the ball rolling for him? So what starts the ball rolling is the Shmua. When he hears that the relative died, when he hears the relative was buried already, for him that's like the Kvura. And then you begin to count. And Shiva starts from that point, and then Shloshim starts from that point as well. And then you'll have a situation where he's going to finish Avelus a week later than everybody else, or 3 weeks later, whatever it was. So those are Beferish Adinim in the Gemara. That's Mamash Beferish in Gemara Shulchan Aruch. Those are Adinim of Shmua Krova. But then there's a different Shmua Krova means that the person received the Shmua, he heard the news, within 30 days. But what if he hears the news 6 months later? Nobody told him that his relative died. He hears it 5 years later, he finds out that his relative died, was buried 5 years ago. So that's not, there was no Kvura to start off his Avelus. It was not even a Shmua Krova. That's what's called the Shmua Rechaika. And Shmur Chayka means you heard the news after 30 days. So this is, again, in today's world, this is almost never going to happen. But until not all that long ago, this was commonplace. This was very, very common in Europe. Even my grandmother, Shom, told me that when she lived in America and she had left her parents behind in Europe, and she received, by the time she got a message, a letter, whatever it was, so it was ready after, it was ready after Shloshim. And she told me that when her brother was killed in the Holocaust, she didn't know it for years. She found out 5 years later that somebody came and told her that he saw her, had seen her brother getting killed. So she observed Avelus. For how long? For Shmur Rechayka. So Shmur Rechayka is a very, very special, unique halacha that you, a person observes Avelus of one day. But that one day of Avelus is not even a full day. It's a mixes Yom Kikulay. And that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, that you take off your shoes, and say, people sit on the floor for a minute, a couple of minutes, whatever it is, and then short, and then the Avelus is over, and then they go back to regular business. So that's the Avelus of Shmur Rechayka. Again, a very unique halacha. It's unique because we don't think of those terms today, but again, this was very, very common in the old days, before a method of communication. This was literally my simcholiyah, these sugyas of Shmur Krov, Shmur Rechayka. So the Gemara of the Feirish in the beginning of Pesachim, the end of Makotam, that Shmur Rechayka requires one day, but all you need is mix Yom Kikulay. So the Mara Meruthenberg writes that what would the din be if a person received the Shmur Rechayka at night? A person at 10 o'clock at night, all of a sudden he gets the Shmur Rechayka that his relative died and was buried 6 months before. So now what happens? So says the Mara Meruthenberg, so will that work or that not work? Can you say that he just takes off his shoes for a minute and a half? So says the Mara Meruthenberg, yes. You know why? Says the Mara Meruthenberg, there's nothing that prevents us from saying Mixes Yom Kikulay at night. The only reason why you can't say Mixes Yom Kikulay at the end of Shiva, or the reason why the woman can't say Mixes Yom Kikulay at the end of Shiva Nikiyim, is not because it's a chisaron in the Mixes Yom Kikulay din. The limitation of night is a chisaron in the Svira din. So says the Mara Meruthenberg, Bishlama Shiva, there's a din of Svira Shiva Siyamim of Avelus. Bishlama Shloshim, there's a din of Svira Shloshim for Avelus. There is no din of Svira of one day. The din of Shmur Rechayka, it's very hard to count to one. Counting to one is not called a Svira. Chazal and Misach are these two models of Avelus. They're Misach in the model of Shiva, they're Misach in the model of Yom Echad. So the Takon of Yom Echad was not a Takon of a Svira Yom Echad. It's not really a din Svira. In theory, you could have a Svira Yom Echad, like you have it by Zavak Tana, but they didn't. Claims of Mara Meruthenberg wasn't really a din of Svira. It was just a Neo Gubik Yom Kikul, finished. So since there's no requirement of accomplishing a formal Svira, then one could argue that the niyu can be accomplished even at night as well. That's what we pass in Shulchan Aruch. So in Shulchan Aruch, we hold that a person doesn't end Shiva at night, or a person doesn't end Shloshim at night, but they can't theoretically, be Yaitse in a sense, the entire obligation of Shmur Rechayka, even for that 1 minute at night, because there's nothing per se preventing us at night from applying Mixes Yom Kikulay. The din of night is that it's mufka for the din of Svira. Again, as we said before, it highlights almost this phenomena. And even though we're so focusing on day versus night, and day versus night, and night is not a Zman Svira, but strangely enough, in terms of Chosvira Sa'omer, that is the Zman Svira. It's the only Zman Svira. It's the real Zman Svira. It's Dafka by night, and not by day. And again, it's not a kash, it's just an observation. One's a Dintimus, one's not a Dintimus. You have almost a little bit of an overlap in this when it comes to the din of Omer, not vis-a-vis the mitzvah sphere, but rather the minhagim of sphere Omer. So there is a machlekes in the poskim about whether the minhagim of sphere Omer and, let's say, the night of Lag BaOmer. So can a person get a haircut, have a wedding, etc.? Can you do all those things the night before? So can you apply mitzvah Yom Kikulay or not? So l'chor you can't. L'chor you have to wait till the next day, because the same way as in Hilchos Avelus, you have to wait, because in Hilchos Avelus, you don't say mitzvah Yom Kikulay at night. So unless you argue that maybe that's only true because it's a bit of a minyan hayom, maybe the minig of being nayig 33 days of Avelos is not a minyan, it's not a sphira. I don't know if I ought to say alum the ship, what a minyan Yisrael is, I ought to know. So there are different opinions about this. So the Ramon, others disagree with the Ramon, there are different minhagim about this. And about the Hasidim, they're very mekel about this. They have all the upsharings they have the night before, and all the music and everything they have the night before, and then the diehard Ramonics wait until the next day to do those kinds of things. But whatever it is, it's just a strange thing that here we have different halachas of Sfira, and Yom and Laila are so fundamentally different from one another. So again, we tried a little bit just to give a little bit of a flavor, a little bit of mash, a little bit of something into the concept of Svira as it relates to Shiva Kiyam, a little bit of Yova we touched on here and there. Now we just talked about Avelos, and again, primarily much of the Torah, much of the Lomdus revolved around the notion, the ideas of Svira Shiva Kiyam. So just like to recap where we started from. So if I'm not mistaken, we mentioned that part of the reason why I thought these were appropriate sugyas for this time of the year, not only in terms of, are they appropriate in terms of these sugyas of sphere, it's appropriate because all of Torah is always appropriate. That's, you don't need an excuse to say shiva at any topic, any time of the year. But Api Kabbalah, this is the time of almost like sphere shiva nikiyim. That the Kabbalah speak about the idea that as we get ready for the wedding between us and the Kiddush Baruch Hu, so much imagery of chosen and kala is invoked in Torah. Chazal speaking time and time again about the chuppah and the Kiddush Baruch Hu is came out the chosen kala, and the kala requires a chana, she requires preparations for the chasana. So we have to make if it's shivin kiyum, a woman has to go to the mikvah before she gets married. She has to get the shivin kiyum before she goes to get married. So in a certain sense, we're coming, you know, through that process. We're trying to fulfill that process as well. As we get closer and closer and closer to this monarch of Al-Satira. So I don't want to say how close we are because I ended up my tonight. We have a chance to free it. So I don't want to mess up. So I don't want to say exactly what we're holding, but they can figure it on your own. So we're getting fairly close to the end. So again, it's the anticipation, the excitement of coming close to Kiddush Baruch Hu and reaching the state of Tahara. So that's something hopefully that should excite us and give us that extra boost over the last round of this Tahara process. So hopefully we should see B'mekuyim in our days, the words of Rabbi Kiva Shreichim Yisrael, lift them yet to Abdarim Yitareschem, not just a nice song for Lagoyim, but it's something that should govern and guide us hopefully throughout our lives. So big shkoyach to everybody for joining us for these special, not that the shiur was special because I said them, just because it was a special time for the shiur. So shkoyach to everybody for joining us. And Amir Tashem, the schedule for next week. So we're gonna have the Tikkun Leil Shavuos a little bit in earlier form next week. So hopefully we'll be in four installments. Hashem, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. So I think we decided on did we pick the time 9:15? I don't remember what we decided. I forgot about it.
9:15.
Yeah, I think we just decided a few hours ago. I just forgot what we decided. Okay. So it's Amir Tashem 9:15. So those Marmakomos are around already, Phil? Are they on the website already? Are they flown around?
They're going to go out in the announcements.
Okay, perfect. Tonight. Okay, good. It's meant to shame. Everyone get a jump start, head start a little bit. And hopefully we'll learn some of the sugyas that'll be relevant in terms of that sugya, meant to shame. But the main topic of the shiur will be achon nefesh and pikuach nefesh. The similarities and differences. It's not just because there's the same word in both of those phrases, but there's some very real halach, relationship between some of that terim of pikuach nefesh, which is still part of our sugya that we're still holding a little bit. And Echol Nefesh, we get closer to the Yom Tov and Shavuos, so we'll try to get a little bit of some of the lumdus that governs those two interesting areas of Halacha. Stay in touch in terms of that. Okay.
Rebbe, if you have a chance, send me this year, save it, and send it to me before the next year.
Okay, great, very good. Okay, good. Those who are, by the way, I'm giving an alumni shiur tonight at 10 o'clock. So it's technically my Shir alumni from YU, but I'm sure no one will mind. There were a few people who never stepped into my Shir and YU sneak into that one also. So that's going to be at 10 o'clock on the Sigit of the Torah. So we'll see if those want to join. So you're my personal guest for that.
Am I considered an alumni, Rabbi Sobolovsky?
Yeah, everyone's alumni. Some people are still in my Shir. So everyone's good to go. Okay, good. Take care, everybody.
Ready?
Yeah, let me turn off the
record.
Let me turn off the record. Hold on a second. Yeah.
If I could ask Rabbi one or two questions on tonight's shiur. The first is about Miktzadei Obkakulo in regards to Lag BaOmer. I want to know how Rabbi Paskin, if one would be able to get a haircut or shave, if then Rabbi's Lomdus.
It's better to wait till the morning. Ramos says to wait till the morning.
Okay, thank you. And the other question is about if someone has a shmur rechoka of avelut the night before, the Maharam Paskins, we can say mixed yom kakulo, and he can only do like 1 minute of avelut and then he's yotze.
Right.
It's a minhag, right? So isn't that kind of...
What do you mean? Shmur, what's a minhag?
That you keep one day after shmur rechoka?
No, it's a din. No, it's a real din.
So isn't that kind of mevata, the whole din?
No, a person with kind of din. That makes him come. 1 minute, he was yotze. He has to take his shoes off, sit on the floor for a minute, and join. He's done. That's exactly what the Gemara tells the story. That's exactly what happened. The Gemara says, Rav got a shmur rechoka. He took off his shoes and he put them back on again a minute later. It's a fair shikamar.
Thank you.
Okay. I think we lost you.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, good. Be well, everyone. Okay, take care.